All right, welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. It's Friday, so it's time to open up the mailbag to answer your questions. Got a bunch of good ones. Got some early draft rumors around the Warriors, and Andrew Wiggins is fit. But let's start with this question from Nathan Hoffman, who writes in, if each of the core three players were the general manager for the NBA draft, who do you think the Warriors would pick? I love this question. Great question from Nathan. Core three Warriors, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Quick aside, I was speaking with Joe Lacob in East Lansing when for Draymond Green's jersey retirement at Michigan State. And I was talking to Draymond, I was talking about Draymond's importance to the organization, and Lacob just sort of casually mentioned that Draymond Green is in, he will force himself into the room for the NBA draft. And in the lead up to the draft, Draymond Green will talk to Joe Lacob and Bob Myers and that whole front office group about guys that he likes. So Draymond tries to get involved, has been involved in that process. Now, I don't know how much they actually listen to him. I'm not saying they don't. I just don't know that. I don't know what kind of weight that Draymond carries in the draft room. But one thing we do know is that Draymond Green, when he wants to be, can be very loud. And if you don't want to hear him, well, he's going to make you hear him either way. So I'd bet that Draymond has already given his opinion, or has been giving his opinion on this draft. I know one of his guys, Cassius Winston, Michigan State, he might be saying, hey, look, if we've got the second round pick, we can do a lot worse than this guy. I know that Eric Paschal has been talking to Sadiq Bey. He's not one of the core three players, but we know that the Warriors have that Villanova connection. They like Jay Wright and like his program. But to get back to Nathan's question here, we'll start with Steph. I don't think Steph is nearly as loud as Draymond Green. If I was Steph Curry, I would be looking for a guy who can help guard other perimeter players, so take a little bit off my plate there, and can get me the ball. So I want a playmaker. I want a guy who can guard a couple different positions, at least, who knows what he's doing when he's on the court, high-level passer, high basketball IQ. And so if I'm Steph, I'm going with Tyrese Haliburton out of Iowa State. He checks all those boxes. He played point guard at Iowa State. He's a high-level passer and playmaker at the NBA level. He can probably play the one, the two. He can guard threes. I think he's long enough. The production is there from a scoring standpoint. He's got a nice little in-between game that I like, interesting floater game, stuff like that. If he's on the court with Steph and Klay, I think he can guard other ones and take that off of Steph's plate. Steph can go ahead and guard the least threatening offensive player on the opponent. So if I'm Steph, definitely going with Tyrese Haliburton. If I'm Klay Thompson, sort of similar, but I'm coming off the ACL thing. I'm rehabbing. I still don't know where I'm at as far as being able to move laterally, defensively, offensively. I don't really have that many questions. Once a shooter, always a shooter. He's going to be, still making threes. Not a problem there. The post game should come back for Klay Thompson as well. I think we're going to see more of that, by the way, going forward. But I want a bigger body defender to help me. An Andre Iguodala type, somebody who can walk in and help me guard other opposing wings. Again, take something off my plate. I'd be all in on Anthony Edwards if I were Klay Thompson. More of a theoretical player, but I'm really high on Anthony Edwards' defensive upside at the NBA level. I think it was maybe one of the worst fits for him at Georgia. And if you put him on a Warriors team that projects as a very good fit for his skill set, I think you'll see just a dramatic leap just from that, just from a fit standpoint, not anything to do with his just raw development. So I think Anthony Edwards day one in Golden State would be better than Anthony Edwards the last day he was at Georgia automatically. And I'm buying into his defensive upside, the way that he can be physical with players. So if I'm Klay Thompson, I take him. And if I'm Draymond Green, I want a guy who can help me protect the rim a little bit and help spread the floor a little bit for me so that I can be on the floor more often. Now, that's the tough thing to find, right, in this draft. I don't know who that player is. If that player was available in the top five, I guarantee you that would be the guy that the Warriors take. But you can reach for players who could get there, and Obi Toppin Denny Avija. With Obi, there's definitely defensive issues there, right? I don't know that he's a rim protector. Draymond Green, I guess, could be the rim protector there. And maybe Obi Toppin can just be more of a help side defender kind of guy. Add some length there. With Denny, similar issues with his size going up against other bigger centers. I like his, he's more of a switching guy, even though he could be kind of like a Danilo Gallinari's type of body at the power forward spot, like as a stretch four. I just don't see him protecting the rim all that much. And then you've got Wiseman, who, yeah, he can protect the rim right away. I don't think you can play him and Draymond together because I just don't believe in Wiseman's shot. Aneke Okongwu, I kind of like him if I'm Draymond Green. Not a great shooter, but he can move the ball, high-level passer, really good switching defender. We saw that you can play Draymond and Kevon Looney together at spurts just because of how good they are defensively. If Aneke Okongwu could be a top or a high-end rebounder at the NBA level, which there are some questions about, but if he can be, I think that pairing would work. So if I'm Draymond, I'm probably going in that direction. If I'm not, just going to go in the straight-up Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton. I really like Devin Vassell out of Florida State. I really like Patrick Williams out of Florida State. I think if he can crack that top five, which he could, there's been some scuttle about him moving up. He has been moving up draft boards recently. I don't know if he's going to get up that high. But if I'm Draymond Green, maybe I say, hey, let's trade back. Let's get this Patrick Williams guy out of FSU because he's a natural rim protector, high-level defender, raw on offense, but there's enough there. And if he can kind of make that jump shot translate, then that would be a really nice front court pairing between Draymond Green and Patrick Williams. LPZ writes in, who will be the third best distributor on the Warriors next season? It's either going to be the guy they draft in the top five or Andrew Wiggins. Honestly, I think Andrew Wiggins as a secondary playmaker will be better than Andrew Wiggins as a primary ball handler. Maybe between 3 and 4 assists per game. I could definitely see that from Wiggins next year. Start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boodoo and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. The Axios Today podcast. Now let's talk about my bookie. Say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind, and that's my bookie. My bookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it. You love it. You've heard about them before, and this should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all of your favorite teams. With the start of Major League Baseball and the NBA underway, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Are you feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets and NBA playoff bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season has even began or when it's just underway. But why stop there? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all of your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL teams and games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, plus they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you've got to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Nation's Greatest writes in, early rumored targets have the Dubs valuing defensive versatility over shooting. Are you getting that sense as well? I think the defensive versatility thing over the shooting is a little black and white. But yes, I would probably say if I had to pick one, I would say, yeah, the defense is what's going to matter the most. The Warriors had their defense was atrocious last year. The offense wasn't good either. I mean, we're talking about two of the worst, units in the league at that point. But the offense is going to get better just by getting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back. And I think you have Steph and Klay as your top two guys, with Wiggins, who, by the way, can score. And if you're putting him in a tertiary scoring role, I think he can be more efficient next year. And if that works out, and if Draymond Green, if he can, ramp it up a little bit more offensively, get back into double digits at least in points per game, which should be easier if he's having to do less offensively as far as the playmaking and stuff. Like, maybe he's able to get more. And then you've got Eric Paschal and his development. You're going to have more guys. Like, I think the offense is going to get better naturally. The defense I have questions about. Having Klay Thompson back will help, but we still have yet to see what he's going to look like when he comes back from the knee injury, right? And Steph Curry doesn't necessarily help things on that end, even though you could argue with his communication, his basketball IQ, like they could be better. They certainly won't be worse than they were with Steph Curry on that end. I just don't know that he makes them dramatically better. That said, they have a lot more work to do defensively than they do offensively, at least in terms of trying to get better this offseason, right? Like I said, you're going to naturally get better on offense with Steph and Klay coming back. Those guys aren't going to dramatically increase the level of that defense. Okay, if they did nothing right now, right, the Warriors would have a top 15 offense in the league next year. If they do nothing, they don't add a single player, they don't even use their draft pick, they would have a top 15 offense next year at least. But if they do nothing, they'd probably still have the worst defense in the league next year. Or really close to it. Bottom five. For sure. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. This pick is a way to make your defense better. So I look at the guys who are at the top of the draft who can, from day one, make the defense better. And that's why I go to guys like Tyrese Haliburton, Anthony Edwards. I maybe not to that same level. I like more. That's more of an upside play. Devin Vassell out of Florida State. Patrick Williams out of Florida State. Onyeka Okongwu out of USC. Those are the guys who, if you bring them in, on day one, Aaron Naismith, if you bring them in day one, they're going to improve the defense. And so that, to me, is more important. Now, preferably, they'd also be able to shoot, right? And that's why a guy like Devin Vassell is rising up my draft board, because he is a 3-and-D guy. He is that prototype. Long at 6'10", high release on his jumper. I think he could play the 3, he could play the 4 for you, even in smaller lineups with Draymond at the 5. And I think day one, he can walk in and be this 3-and-D type of guy. Sadiq Bey, Aaron Naismith, like those are similar type of guys, even though I think Vassell is the top end of that group. So he's been rising up my board just because of that, because he offers all those things. Haliburton, the same thing. He offers you the three-point shooting. The shot's a little funky, but it goes in, so it's okay. And he gives you the defense, though. He's not giving you as much size defensively as Vassell is, but I trust him more on ones than I would Vassell. Even though I think Vassell can handle it. Onyeka Okongwu, there's the defensive upside there, especially if Kevon Looney is not going to be healthy. You kind of want that switching guy if you're ready to sort of move on from Looney. But he's not really offering you the shooting, but I would take that over a Wiseman who's not giving you, who some say can shoot, even though I'm not a believer in his jump shot. But I think defensively he's much more limited than Okongwu. So, that's what I'm hearing. Isaac Okoro has been getting some play there, the guy out of Auburn. But of the wings, he's on the bottom end of you know, an offensive skill set. There's major questions with his jumper, with what he can do on that offensive end. He's really athletic. Like, he's going to be able to dunk and cut and do all of these things. But I just don't know how many more minus shooters you can have on the floor if you've already got Andrew Wiggins, who's, you know, we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but that's still a point of progress. And then, of course, Draymond Green and whoever you have playing center. So I don't love Okoro's fit for the Warriors. My understanding from what I'm hearing is that they're not super high on Okoro either. I think that they would prefer a guy who can shoot from the outside a little bit more, even though I think they're in on Okoro's one-on-one defense. They want that. They would love to have him. They were a player like him who can be that kind of defender. And I think that's why you look at a Vassell or Sadiq Bey, guys who might not be as good as Okoro defensively, but they can at least be on the floor because they're able to shoot offensively, and you're able to put them in interesting lineups and have him and Draymond Green at the floor at the same time, because Okoro might be, in a vacuum, a better defender than Vassell or Sadiq Bey. But think about it this way, okay? Even if Okoro is in a vacuum better than those other guys, you can't necessarily play him with Draymond Green, right? Like, or you're going to be at least limited in those minutes. So as a team, are you better defensively? Probably not. You'd rather have the guy who may be a notch below Okoro defensively in a vacuum, like a Vassell or a Sadiq Bey. But those guys, because they can make shots from the outside, you can play them with Draymond Green. You can play them at the same time, and then therefore your defense is going to be better overall as a unit. And that's where I think the Warriors' mindset is and where it needs to be, and why I would lean more towards the guys who maybe not be as good as a wing defender as an Okoro, but can do enough offensively to stay on the court and improve the team from day one, no matter what. All right. I have another email about Andrew Wiggins coming up next. This is Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things. Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Let's get to this email to wrap up the show. It comes from Neil, who writes in, "I've been making a concerted effort, but I'm simply unable to come to peace with the Andrew Wiggins acquisition. I've heard some pretty convincing arguments since the deal, and some of them have brought me momentarily feelings of optimism, but then the glitter fades, and I can't help but feel that we got rid of Alec Burks and picked up Alec Burks. Yes, this is a simplistic comparison. I guess the contract and is Wiggins' youth, athleticism, and hypothetical defensive upside, but I'm sorry, I guess the contrast is Wiggins' youth, athleticism, and hypothetical defensive upside. That package sounds nice in the abstract, but then I always get caught up with a couple of things I can't ignore. First, the numbers. Let's just start with the quick, at-a-glance counting stats comparisons. Career averages, Burks has averaged significantly fewer minutes, so I think it's more useful to look at their per 36 numbers. So looking at those per 36 numbers, Neil outlines what they are. Points, Burks, 16.8 per game. Wiggins, 19.8 per game. Burks averaged 5.3 rebounds per 36 minutes, I should say. Wiggins, 4.4 rebounds per 36 minutes. Assists, 3 for Burks, 2.4 for Wiggins. It goes on. They're pretty similar. Then things get dicier when you start to look at the percentages, which brings me to my next point. Wiggins is not a shooter. I suppose the Warriors reckon they don't need him to be, but I disagree. They need a starting wing who is at least as capable a shooter as Harrison Barnes was. Wiggins' career percentage is from 44% field goal percentage, 33% from three-point line, 73% from the free throw line versus Burks, 42, 36, and 79. Harrison Barnes, 45, 37, and 80. Those numbers for Wiggins are not good. To put it even more into perspective for Warriors fans, Draymond's career percentages are 50, 32, and 71. Wiggins' free throw percentage is at 73, and it has been declining over his career. Draymond is at 71. How many times have we agonized over Draymond's mediocrity from the line in a crucial situation or wish that he could simply be the respectable three-point shooter he was during the 15-16 season? Guess what? Wiggins is not going to make you feel any better. I try to make myself believe in a brighter shooting future for him, but there really haven't been many positive signs, and until I actually see it, there's no way I can be convinced he will ever be a respectable shooter. The free throws are a huge problem. One of the areas where Wiggins has earned praise during his career is his ability to attack and get to the rim. Not only has this phenomenon been inconsistent, but the ability is immensely more valuable if you are a player like Jimmy Butler who can compensate for his mediocre floor shooting by using aggressiveness to make the opposing team pay from the line. If Wiggins has one of his 65% seasons at the line, then the Warriors are in trouble. Then there's the defense, it goes on. As I mentioned, the tally stats are not impressive. I haven't analyzed the analytics, and supposedly his defense has improved over the past couple of seasons, but the 538 article that crunched numbers from the 2016-17 season and identified him as the worst defensive player in the league will forever be seared in my memory. There is upside, but how much faith can we have? Then there are the intangibles. His questionable body language, work ethic, and love for the game have been talking points throughout his career, fairly or unfairly. Oftentimes, as they say, where there is smoke, there's fire. Maybe, hopefully, the Warriors system, culture, winning atmosphere, etc. can work its theoretical magic and help him blossom into a key piece, just like Nick Young, Jordan Bell, Patrick McCaw, Omer Caspi, Andrew McKinney. Question mark? But we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, the team has had a number of Livingston, McGee, Spates success stories, but all I'm saying is their record in that department isn't spotless. I just wonder whether Wiggins has the mental and emotional constitution to withstand the level of dedication that Draymond will expect of him. I really hope he does, and I have some belief that he will, but that is still an enormous question mark. Please change my mind on any of these points. Neil, it's going to be tough, buddy. I am more optimistic about Wiggins' fit just because what Minnesota was asking him to do, and in general, I'm usually a fan of take a talented player from a dysfunctional team, put him on a functional team, the talent will translate and he will just naturally be better by not being on the dysfunctional team. Now, the counterpoint to that would be, has been being on a dysfunctional team and playing out of his role for so long, you know, created so many bad habits that are going to be hard to shake. And I think with the case of Andrew Wiggins, there are going to be some of those bad habits still there. We already saw them. He can force shots a little bit. He can do those things. But the thing I like about Wiggins is he does seem humble. I talked with him a few times after he got to Golden State, and I've asked him in a lot of different ways how he feels like he's going to fit in. He really just wants to fit in. Like, I really believe him. Like, I don't know that he's, like, that love of the game stuff, all that, like, I think people carry themselves in different ways. And when a player isn't this rah-rah type, this outspoken guy, this like kind of Kobe Bryant, Mamba mentality, Michael Jordan yelling and screaming, like we just assume that he doesn't love the game, he doesn't have the work ethic. People show it in different ways. Now, I think that Andrew Wiggins at times does not have the work ethic and had not had the work ethic. I think the Warriors, again, by being an organization that has their bleep together, can work that out of him. When you are, and players have said this over and over again, when you are just watching Steph Curry and Klay Thompson put the work in day in and day out, it forces you to work that much harder. Wiggins has never been around anybody like Steph and Klay. Anybody to that level. Like, the most has been Jimmy Butler. And that was his best season. Like, that was Minnesota's best season, was when he was around Jimmy Butler. I talked to Andrew Wiggins about Jimmy Butler. He loved Jimmy Butler being there. And so I think he's going to have a similar reaction to having Steph and Klay there, who aren't the aggressors like Jimmy Butler are. They're more of a lead by example type, and I think Wiggins is going to respond well to that. So I think that'll help with the work ethic part of it. The other part of it is, if he's not having to run pick and roll all the time and find his own shot and do these things, if he could be a cog of the defense and not have to be the best defender on the team, if he could be a cog on the offense and not have to be the go-to scorer on a team, I think he's going to thrive. And I think it's going to allow him to use his athleticism more. It's going to allow him to guard positions that he's more apt to guard. I think he's just going to be a better player. Now, I'll say this. He's never going to be the $27 million a year player. He's never going to be an all-star, probably. But he's definitely going to be better than Alec Burks. Okay? Alec Burks was not a great defender. Was a little bit of a black hole on offense. I think Wiggins is going to be more of a ball mover than Burks was. I think you can fit him into certain lineups and unlock certain lineups with him that you couldn't necessarily do with Burks. So wouldn't go so far as to say he's a Burks replacement, but also not going to go as far as to say that he's going to be worth $27 million a year at some point. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.